Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So I'll tweet at some point if we do a show, maybe early next week, if we get to Wembley. If we don't,
Wembley build up.
If we don't, you'll never see me again.
Payne back to Nolan, takes the shot and off the bar and in. Nolan with the opening goal.
What a stroke from Nolan. Sucker punch for the Addicts.
We've got 90 minutes to score two, keep a clean sheet. So is it possible? For sure it's possible. Is the game over? No, not by a long way. And that's what I've just said to the lads. Like, listen, you've got 90 minutes. I'm telling you now, you're a far better side than what they are. Is it me?
There is no doubt. There goes Worley, looking for Carlton. Morris! Hugh Bedlam in Shropshire! Shrewsbury Town, the nearly man in League One this season, are looking to be the main man in the playoffs.
You're wasting your time. But over the course of the two legs, do you think that the right team's gone through today?
On paper, they scored two goals and we scored none. But over the two legs, was they the better team? I'd have to say no. I was told to the end of the season, and now the season's done. So I don't know where that leaves me.
Would you like to stay, Lee?
Of course, I love the club. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here now. Don't know, I guess I'll just come back pre-season and see what's happening, unless stuff happens through the summer and then I'll find out before that. So, you guys will probably find out before me. If I'm going to stay, then it will be as manager, because if not, then I won't be staying. That's 100%. Yeah, that's the only way that I will stay in the club now.
Charlton Athletic fans are still in the dark about whether the club will be sold this summer, but they have been active in the transfer market, with Lyle Taylor turning down Sunderland to move to the Valley from Wimbledon.
I don't know exactly, but we probably do need numbers. I think you can tell it's a bit light. But I'll keep saying it's not our job to bring players in. That's nothing to do with us. But I think we'd be stupid to say that we're not light. So we are a little bit. But I'm sure they're working hard behind the scenes to get that right.
We've discussed this at length, and the transfer of ownership is going to be happening in the next week for a few months now. What do you know what's going on?
No, I wish I did.
Do you think with fans watching this, the squad we've got and the side we've got out there is capable of mounting a challenge this season?
I still think we need more, personally. I think the management would say that as well. A couple of injuries and we're light. Obviously the young lads that have come in and played pre-season and trained with us have done really well. But we need a lot more experience. I think obviously Darren Prattley coming in is a great signing for us.
Definitely to push for promotion. That's the main aim and that's what we want.
So a very good evening to you and welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the Big Match Preview coming to you live from here at the Valley on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes and joining me in the studio as we get ready to gear up for the upcoming season. Promotion is the aim in that season is Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
All right, yeah.
Yeah, feeling good?
No.
But
We'll try. We're back.
Yeah, and also joining us is Nathan Miller. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why?
What sort of dreams do you have?
Yeah, you are sadistic. Right, on tonight's show, we will be looking ahead to the season coming up. We're going to hear extensively, really, from caretaker boss, still caretaker boss, Lee Bowyer, who had his press day today. Plenty of stuff to chat about, as I'm sure you can imagine. We can try and work out what's going on with the takeover. Don't know. We can try and work out how Lee Bowyer's feeling ahead of the season. Positive. We can talk about the players that have come and gone, what we think about the whole raft of new signings we've made. That will fill a couple of minutes. Who may or may not go, where we think we're short. Of course, we will look ahead to the Sunderland game. We want to know what you guys will think will happen at Sunderland, what you think will happen throughout the season. So get involved. We've missed chatting with you. studio@charltonlive.co.uk, on the email @charltonlive, on the tweets. We're going to speak to a Macam to find out about Sunderland. Mark Carrick from the Roker Report fanzine and podcast. He spoke to me on the phone the other day, so we're going to hear that. And of course, like I say, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer on various points throughout the summer, as we talk about what's coming up. So, well, the World Cup was all right, wasn't it?
That was all right.
Yeah. I mean, back to reality now.
Very much so.
Yeah, I mean, just briefly before we hear, firstly, from Lee Bowyer about how he's feeling ahead of the season, how are you guys feeling ahead of the season?
Not great. Squad's too small. Same old things again. Takeover still hasn't happened.
I mean, this feels worse than perhaps the normal.
It does, and it's weird because it's a new season. You automatically, I think, as a football fan, go into it with positivity because your expectations are starting at zero. So you're like, well, anything's possible. So I don't think I've ever really gone into a season, even under Roland, where I've been really, really worried. Even that season in the Championship where we went down, I still came into the season quite positive and we started that season all right. But I'm just not confident now, because when you look through the squad numbers, the squad is so small now. The takeover thing is still ongoing and we don't know what's going on with that. Mm. And they're the two biggest issues for me in terms of uncertainty at the club. And as I say, squad size is just an issue because we need players and we haven't got them.
I mean, we'll hear Lee Bowyer's update on the takeover shortly, but I think, as you can tell by the fact, it's not number one on the show's running order. It's not a massive one. Nathan, I mean, I listened to you. You were on the Roker Report podcast yourself talking about the upcoming season. You do actually tend to be a bit more positive, I feel, Nathan, than some of us. But, I mean, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the takeover, I've always said it, you know, I'm not going to chart when we had the Zabil days, which I think there was obviously a couple of younger fans that probably wouldn't remember, but I've always said I'll just wait until it comes on the website. Of course, I want it to happen, but I'm not going to get too hung up over it. Otherwise, I mean, what would we do it for the last 6 months and plus, haven't we? So yeah, that is what it is. In terms of obviously our chances, we were saying off air, I think I can't remember such a small squad, especially in the areas which are obviously blindingly obvious in midfield. But I don't know. I don't know if the takeover is having an impact on it. It must be.
I mean, surely it must be. I mean, not in terms of the people within the building, but it's the fact there's no one in the building.
Because I mean, I can understand Bo's point that, like, you don't want to get anyone for the sake of getting them, which I agree 100%. Because otherwise, you just end up with people like Keith Gillespie, like we've had in previous years or whatever. But there's surely going to be players out there. And he's obviously been given a budget, and which is obviously very difficult to work with. Otherwise, like you say, we'd have players in.
But yeah, and obviously, like I say, the two that have come in so far on free transfers, which obviously will, you know, good signings, I think, from what I've seen so far. But it affects the fact that we can't go out and buy a player. Surely, if you want to win the league, unless you probably want to spend a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Which is something that's obviously held us back. You know, the hangover from, you know, what we saw in January when we weren't allowed to get anyone permanently. That still seems to be going on, and of course it affects Lee Bowyer. And I know he talks about, like you said there, Nath, he talks about how you don't want to, you know, just bring anyone in for the sake of it, but that's the same at every football club everywhere. We're not going to go and sign Cedric Avina now just for the sake of it, just to have a body in the squad. You want to be able to sign decent players, but you need to be able to sign a squad. You can't just be bringing in people, you know, or not bringing in people, as is our case. And it feels like a massive problem. Now, Lee Bowyer is the manager of this club. He's the caretaker manager of this club at the moment. Whether that will get made permanent or not over the next few days or weeks, we don't really know, because I say everything's up in the air at the moment. But his job is to not sound like we sound right now. It's to not sound worried. It's his job to get into that player's mentality. And we saw it throughout the end of last season when he came in and promised we were going to get to the playoffs. He delivered that. He got that winning mentality into the players. He then obviously promised that we were going to win the playoff semi-final against Shrewsbury. Even at half-time, he said we're better than them. Obviously, that didn't happen. But that, I think people are going to say, oh, he sounds too positive. I think that's the way he manages. He's a positive manager. He gets that mentality into their head. So this is why I thought I'd just give you the warning there, just before we hear how Lee Bowyer's feeling ahead of the upcoming season.
Excited. I think we've had a good pre-season. I think we've crossed every bridge we needed to, and we've come out well. We've just got to make sure that we're ready and focused for Saturday.
What kind of expectations have you set the boys going into this year? Because you finished last year really, really strong. So what kind of expectations have you set the boys this year?
Promotion. That's what I expect, and they expect the same. Obviously, it's going to be tough. Got some good teams in this league. Some of them are spending a lot of money. So, obviously it's going to be tough, but I know what I'm going to get from my lads. And so, yeah, that's what I've told them, promotion.
What can you take from your final 12 games in the last year to kind of use as an incentive for this season?
I've just told them this morning, if you take nine, The two playoff ones, they're not really part of the league situation. And the Rochdale one, we didn't have to win that, so we put out a weakened side. Otherwise, I think we probably would have won that game if we had to. So in the nine games, I think we got 19 points. So if you break that down over the season, that gives you 90-plus points, which gets you promotion. So with the squad that I had at the end of last season, that's what they've proven they can do. So there's no reason why they can't do it again. And I think obviously we've lost some players, but we've brought in Lowell Taylor, who is a proven striker in this division, and he brings goals. And that was something that we lacked last season, especially in the playoffs. So he's a very good addition to the squad. So we've improved in that area. We've got Veta Kelly to come back from injury. Another proven striker who scores goals. So we're definitely stronger in that area once Veta Kelly's fit, obviously. But we're stronger in that area than we was last season. That's a fact. In midfield, we've brought in Prattley, who's going to bring experience, work rate, and a fight, something that we lacked a little bit, the physicality side of it. We've got a lot of good footballers, but he's bringing the experience and the know-how how to get out of this division. He's had promotions, so he's bringing an awful lot to the squad as well. Again, that's improved us. So do we need to bring more in? Yes. Will we? Yes. But at this present time, we have to be careful who we bring in, because I believe that my players, my squad, they're very good. So I don't want to bring in players that are going to make us worse. There's no point just having bodies in the building that are not going to improve us. So, that will happen. And but until then, we're good.
There's Lee Bowyer there chatting about his feelings for the upcoming season. Now, straight away, straight off the bat there, his aim for this season is promotion. Obviously, Joe Rebo said that as well at the end of the game against Norwich the other day. I mean, realistically, are we going to get promoted, Tom?
It's going to be tight, but there's no reason why with players fit. Like the core of the squad we've got, which is basically all we've got, is a core and youth players. It is a talented group of players. The problem is half of them are injured and the other half haven't come through the door yet. So what we're working with is two or three experienced players, and then we're having to work with a lot of youth. I think that when they're all fit, there's no reason not. It's whether we can get through these first few games until players start coming back, which, as Boya said in his press conference today, we've, like, Plymouth did it last year, and Blackburn even started badly last year, so it can happen. You don't need to have a fast start, but and he's right. We've had a good pre-season as well, and like he said, all through it, results aren't everything in pre-season. But I watched a couple of the games as well, and we played some nice stuff, and that's with these youth team players in as well. It's just when it comes to the crunch of the league, whether they can replicate that in there, and if they can, I think we have got a competitive group of players. We just haven't got enough of them.
Nathan, I mean, you know, we talk about that mentality that Lee Bowyer tries to bring to the team. And, you know, like I say, we did see it reap rewards at the end of last season. And as Tom says, you look at some of the players we do have and you think, well, there's, you know, we've got an excellent centre-half pairing. And, you know, he keeps saying that Bauer's not going to go anywhere. For example, we've got Tariq Fosu, that when he comes back, he's a great player. I've got Jake Forster-Kaski. I'm very aware of the rumours that have been going around on Twitter this afternoon. I can't add anything more to that at this moment in time. I mean, so throughout the squad, there is, you know, sprinklings of players who can perform. You know, Reeves and Marshall need to step up to the plate this year for sure when they're fit and ready. Mm. But realistically, is enough positivity from Lee Bowyer going to be, you know, is positivity from Lee Bowyer going to be enough to get us into that top two, which is what he's aiming for?
The way it is now, no, I don't think. Because I think if the season started in October, I think I wouldn't be worried, because you've got six players, or how many injuries we've got. I don't know how many we got, but, you know, Igor and obviously Clark for me, and Fosu, they're key players. And last year he came in, he was on a bit of a bounce, and we had the players. You had Amos, you had Jada Silva, McGuinness to an extent, and they're not here anymore. So I think he has to remain positive, because there's no point. You can't come out and go, yeah, we were sort of aiming for promotion, but no, we ain't now. I mean, I don't think he's only going to try and keep the lads' spirits up. But with the tools he's got at the moment, I can't see him building anything spectacular unless something happens in the next, till the 9th, isn't it? Well, 1 week.
Yeah, seven days.
Seven days.
Yeah, transfer window closes for permanent signings on the 9th of August. You can still do loans in between EFL clubs up until the end of the month, 31st. Yeah. You can also still sell players outside of the country for as long as you want, up until the 31st as well. So if there's an option to do that, for example, with Jose, who is linked with, you know, moves abroad, I think was one of the ways he was linked, is that could go up to the end of the month as well. Now, we mentioned it sort of slightly earlier on. Obviously, the takeover really is affecting everything that happens at the club now. And, you know, for all the, you know, the players that are in the building, and Bowyer trying to be as positive as possible, I think without this takeover, it's quite clear that we're going to struggle to sign, you know, certain players, or what the calibre of players perhaps, will spend a little bit of money, the likes of which, you know, look at Peterborough, look what they've done, for example. We're not going to be able to do what they're doing at this moment in time. But, you know, obviously that is something that you want to hear an update from. So very briefly, this is what Lee Bowyer had to say when asked about it today.
That it's close. I've also heard that for a while now. So, again, this is something that's out of my control. If it's out of my control, then I'll try to keep out of it, because that's not what I'm here for. I'm not here to decide who takes over, when, why. I'm here to manage the club and to get this club back into the Championship. So anything else, I'm not really that interested in, to be honest.
So there you go. I mean, it's a brief update, and it's no more than what we've heard really throughout the summer.
Yeah, and it's been... The summer's been, like, I haven't really thought about the takeover itself too much, but it's just the impact it's had everywhere. So I'm not thinking, oh, I wonder if the Aussies are in yet or not, but I'm just looking at the impact that it's making that they're not here, and the fact that we're not signing players. And I think Bowyer's handled everything pretty well. Like you say, I think some people might look past what he's saying and think it's just a bit of a PR spin, but he is keeping that positivity up. The players that are here do sound fairly positive as well, and he's always been honest with us since he came in. And if he doesn't know about the takeover, he's not going to try and make something up. I'm sure he's as annoyed as we are that it's not gone through, because obviously his future's slightly up in the air as well. He's been caretaker for forever. So, Yeah, I mean, that uncertainty isn't good for anyone, but if he can kind of protect the players from that, and though that lot don't seem too fussed about it, certainly on the surface, I mean, we'll find out when we see how they perform on Saturday. But, yeah, I think he's handling it well. It's just him, the players, all of us, we need it done. But like he says, and like everyone says, we've been saying that for best part of 7 months now.
Yeah, I mean, it's you almost forget there was the Shrewsbury playoff game that Andrew Muir... Yeah. And was it Gerald Murphy, I think, and Paul Elliott were in the director's box wearing Charlton scarves. These members of the new regime, as such, that you know, it seems bizarre that they obviously thought it was close at the time if they were going to do that and make that public statement effectively, and still hasn't happened.
Yeah, and I think that's what a lot of the frustration is, because everything seems, you know, it seems so near, and then something obviously is breaking down somewhere. And I think it's the lack of knowing for some fans, because obviously they're not going to be able to elaborate too much because it's a deal and whatnot. But I think it's just the length of time. It's just for something to drag on so long. I mean, it's not weeks, you know. Like Tom said, we're talking months. And I put out on Charlton Life the other day. I mean, if it ever happens, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if they do come out and sit everyone down and say what the problem was or whatever. But listen, this, like Bo said, it's none of us can control it. Only obviously certain people can, and we've just got, in my opinion anyway, just got to try and get behind the lads, because there ain't very many of them. And do you know,
literally,
and
get,
I don't actually, I still haven't got a call yet.
I was going to say, we're going to be included in those lads.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I think it could be a possibility. So I've only got one shin pad, though, so I might have to make one.
Roland will buy you a new one.
Oh, yeah, I bet he will.
Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. We'll come back. We'll talk about the transfer dealings that have happened so far this summer here at the Valley.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
He seems to be occupying that left-hand side at the moment. Little step over onto his left foot. Marshall, ball in the box is good. And Rebo, first time.
Oh,
shot.
What a goal!
Lovely finish!
Oh, what a goal!
Joe Rebo gives Charlton the lead. Great ball in from Mark Marshall on the left-hand side. Chips it in. And Rebo, with a calm left-footed volley, have found the bottom right corner and Charlton have the lead.
So welcome back. This is Charlton Live. It's the big match preview here on Maritime Radio. Our first Charlton Live of the show, thank you, of the season even. So thank you for joining us once again. We were doing really well as a podcast towards the end of last season, where everyone was in that good mood when we're getting towards the playoffs. We're thinking, right, here we go. It'll be interesting to see how much it wanes now that we're in.
Especially as we're also positive.
Yeah, exactly. We're in a more. I mean, there is positivity in some cases to be had, and. Certainly within the signings that have come in, and we'll go straight to it. Lyle Taylor joined for free after he didn't renew his contract at AFC Wimbledon. Obviously, Darren Pratley's followed, and we'll talk about him after. But, I mean, Lyle Taylor, I was excited when I heard he was linked with us. Even more excited when the club followed in on Instagram. And then he signs 18 goals last year for AFC Wimbledon. Every time I've seen him play against us, he's looked a real handful. We've got a brace against us, of course, in the FA Cup last season away at Wimbledon. And he's looked in very good nick from what I've seen so far in pre-season.
Yeah, I think it's a brilliant bit of work. And just adds to the... I'm not going to try and be too negative, but it adds to the frustration that we haven't been able to do more of it. But, yeah, brilliant signing. Like you, every time I've seen him play against us, he's just hard to play against. And one of the things that other strikers are coming to criticism for is their lack of ability to take the chances, and they'll get in the right positions, but they won't be able to then capitalise. But he can do that for sure. And he's one of those players that not only gets in the right positions, but puts the ball away as well and scores. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him play for sure. I think it's a really good signing.
Yeah, his link-up play from what I've seen in pre-season looks good. And of course, I think he already had 3 goals before then. He suffered that injury during that pre-season game away to Crawley. Now, that was an interesting day. I went over to that. It was over at East Grinstead, was it? And yeah, Fossey had gone down in the first half, and then Taylor went down in the second half. I was like, goodness me. I think the last thing we need is any more big injuries. And I was looking at that and thinking, oh God. But I managed to speak to Lowe after, and he said it was only a bruised foot, and I think that is what's kept him out since. But with a bruised foot, I don't really know how long that would take to heal, and it sounds like he's a doubt maybe for Saturday. But we'll hear later, more on that from Boya later on in the show. I mean, were you excited when you saw him? He looks a little bit like Neymar in terms of that curly blonde hair on top of his head.
Yeah.
Is that vital for you? Is that
Really, no. I mean, obviously the best here is obviously the ginger Pele and Doherty, but if Lyle Taylor could have their cut, at the same time I was excited. Obviously I think throughout his career, I think he had 1 in 3 last year, and looking at all his other goals, he's more or less been in a 1 in 3 every season, a couple of loan spells here and there. But great signing, providing that he's got the players around him. I don't think he's going to be able to do it on his own. He more or less done it with Wimbledon last year, but I was hoping he'd have some sort of compliment next to him, someone like Igor. I think them two would be absolutely lethal in this league, but obviously Igor's got injured.
Of course he has.
Shock. But yeah, so I mean, yeah, I was excited for him, especially obviously Sunderland were linked with him.
Yeah, well,
he's
sounds
from
like,
here, isn't he?
Yeah, he's Greenwich, born in Greenwich. It sounds like he turned down a bigger offer from Sunderland to come to the Valley. So that's it's great he's here. I think, like I say, I think he looks like a tidy player. The other one is coming, Darren Prattley, and I haven't actually been to the pre-season games that he was involved with. So I was on my holiday. But I mean, in terms of experience in that midfield, in terms of body in that midfield, we needed both really, and it's good to come in. He's done it at the top level as well. So I mean, what are we hoping for from Darren Prattley?
Yeah, I think he's going to be, sounds a bit cliche, but a very safe pair of hands. He's been there and he's done it. And
not allowed to handball it in midfield. You're thinking of a goalkeeper.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, we haven't got any of them, have we?
Yeah.
I think he's going to offer something that a lot of the other players can't. I mean, Jackson, obviously from the sidelines this season, is going to be able to do it because he's got a lot of experience. But you look through the squad and we're being critical of it because there's such a lack of depth. But the young players, to have that chance for them is obviously fantastic, but they need someone like him in the building. You know, him, Jackson, Boya, they can work with the likes of Lapsley and the younger players and try and hopefully get the best out of them as well. And I think he's going to be that player that can come on, can do it. He's maybe a bit like Bradley Pritchard in our League One season, where he could come on and he'd just shore things up, but maybe not so much in a defensive way. I just think he's a reliable player, and he's shown that over his career. And if he can just do that here, as I say, it's another body through, and I think he could play a big part.
Yeah, I mean, do you know much about him, Nath?
Well, he made his debut here, didn't he?
Yeah, for Fulham.
He does score a few goals. I mean, it was only 45 minutes against Brighton, but he looked tidy on the ball. He was very vocal, which, like as Tom said, is going to be key in terms of obviously passing on knowledge. But the main thing for me is last year, I think towards the tail end of last year, we were playing well, but we always knew that we were quite weak in that central midfield position. So when you had Jake and Joe Reba, they were great on the ball, but I think sometimes Joe and Jake got bullied a little bit. Not through the lack of aggression from them, but I just think we didn't have anyone as a unit and could probably handle themselves. So I think in that aspect, I think Darren will be a good signing, especially at this level. I still think he could probably do it at Championship level. He's box to box, he's good on the ball, he chips him with a goal. Set pieces, he's going to be dangerous, because again, we weren't the tallest of size last year, so at set pieces we're always sort of conceding goals. But yeah, I think it's smart. A bit unfortunate he's obviously not match fit.
Of course he isn't.
Which, I think Bowie is the fittest person at the moment in the club. But yeah, I think again, when he's up and running. But again, like I said earlier, all these players that are due back in September, October. Once they're coming back, it's fine. But
Even then,
it's still bare to the bones. I mean, we
heard clips at the start of the show there as well. I put in from Jake Forster Caskey and from Jason Pearce, who both said that they felt we were light. Now, Jake was talking after the game at Welling, so since then we've signed Darren Prattley. But, I mean, Pearce was talking at the Crawley game. We'd already signed Darren Prattley by then, so nothing's changed since then in terms of people coming in. Now, are we taking on more injuries? Are we going to lose another player? And so we've lost McGuinness since then, and obviously we could well lose a Jose as well. So, I mean, everything points to the squad being short. And now, if you look at the numbers in particular, I've been generous with this, is I've only included what I believe could count as first team players. So I've said we've lost 10 since last season. Now, if you then start adding in the likes of Brandon Hanlon and Regan Charles Cook, I mean, there's some youth players. People are going up to 15 that we've lost since the end of last season, if you include. So you're looking at Cashy not renewing his contract. You're looking at Konza going to Brentford. You're looking at McGuinness going to Bolton. Of course, you're looking at Harry Lennon going to Southend. You're then looking at the loanees all going back. So that's Jada Silva, Ben Amos, Sully Kaikai, Michael Zara and Steffi Mavadidi have all gone back to their parent clubs. Jacko is obviously retired and he's no longer considered a playing member of staff. So that's the amount of people that have gone out compared to the amount of people that's coming now. I mean, if you look at those names, I mean, who do you think will be the biggest misses this season?
I think Cons is a huge miss. Amos and De Silva, probably. I think Lewis Page, when he came in, actually performed very well. So I'm not too concerned that the Page is going to play there, but obviously we know what De Silva can offer. I actually think Dylan Phillips has performed really well in pre-season, made some amazing saves. But again, to have that competition of a player like Amos, and we saw how crucial Amos was in the back end of last season as well. The only place I'm not too concerned, and again, this is waiting for people to get back fit, it is up front. I think we've got a good selection of strikers there. Even Carlin seems to have come back with looking pretty decent after his loan spell as well. So it's the midfield. Again, Cashy, Cons are both gone. Forster Caskey, we're hearing these rumours. So there's players. It's that area that looks like we could be struggling. And all the players are saying it. Bowyer's saying it. All the fans are saying it. It's something we've said ever since Roland came in, that he likes a small squad anyway. But if this is asset stripping or whatever people want to call it as well, then it's the same problem, but 10 times worse.
Hey, I mean, who's the biggest miss for you? I mean, Cashy, maybe?
Yeah, I'd say Cashy. I said earlier, I think, obviously, with Jake and Joe, I think they're good on the ball. We lack someone who can win that ball back. Centre-half as well. If Paddy and Jason get injured, I know we got Nabs there, but I'm seeing more Nabby as more of a striker after that finish against Brighton. But in all seriousness, I think that the middle of the pitch, because we still haven't got a ball winner. I know George Lapsley's coming through, but Bosid is not ready. And obviously, Bo's being a centre midfielder himself, he'll know. And it's that spine. I don't think we've got a very good spine at the moment, because, again, you have an injury or a suspension. You can't go with two centre-backs and two centre-midfielders the whole season. It's impossible.
Right, let's get on to the correspondence, because obviously this is our first show of the season. It's great to be chatting with you guys. Again, email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. Chris Davin emailed us, says, welcome back, boys. A new season that promised to be one where we got our Charlton back looks like being another of nothing of the sort. The much promised takeover is no nearer than it was 3 months ago. Players left, very few coming in. It's worrying times. One thing that irks me is Card getting holier than thou and telling fans not to purchase season tickets like they are the law. Make that two things that irk me: the love and best wishes meted out on the players who have left. If a player wants to leave our club, it's an insult. So to me, they deserve thanks, but just to be instantly forgotten in my book. Let's face it, they failed. If they hadn't, we'd still not be in this league, so couldn't care less about them once they're gone. I mean, we're talking, you mentioned Card there. Obviously, they've said to fans, if not to buy season tickets. Obviously, it's a suggestion. They're not telling anyone what to do. They're saying, we suggest you don't buy tickets. Obviously, you don't have to listen to them. But, I mean, obviously, your views on a protest. I mean, because now we know that Roland's selling, we don't really know what the delay is. So, I mean, some fans are going to join in the protest because it's getting frustrating, but some fans aren't. So, I mean, where do you think we stand on that?
I don't think we know, and I think that's the problem. Everyone's just in a bit of limbo. You've got some people saying, well, we should, because he's still here. There's other people saying, no. Then some bit of news breaks from somebody who goes, oh, it's happening this week, and then that week goes past and nothing happens, and then you have the same conversations. I mean, the same thing must have been going round and round and round. As I say, it must have been February where we really thought it was going to happen. So it's been, what, 5-6 months of people having those same 3 or 4 conversations just in a circle over and over and over again. There, I imagine numbers will be low again if it's to happen during the season, which surely, if anything, it has to, because otherwise it's going to have been over a year since that February date. Then it would be interesting to see what impact that has. Obviously, playing staff, it doesn't look like it's going to make too much difference until January. But, I don't really know. I've renewed, I'm coming back. I'm sure other people will be doing the same. But again, I'm sure there's plenty of people who still don't feel they can come here because, despite what they were hoping, Roland's still going to be in charge come the first day, unless something magical happens tomorrow.
So, right, I wanted to get a feel of what people's views are out there in the Charlton family. So, I mean, Craig tweeted this yesterday. I think Mads did as well. Bets on us to get relegated. I mean, you can see why the turmoil at the club. I mean, while there is such a small squad, any sort of injury problems, and we could be really, really like this. You can see why that's going to happen. I mean, Boya said earlier on in press day that, you know, we are going to get more bodies in. We're surely going to have to get some loans in and some players in before the end. Before the transfer window closes, whichever one it is. Surely we're going to have to, because I mean, surely that Roland can see that if we go down, it's going to be worth even less. Surely.
Probably not. Probably say it's more expensive.
So like we say, a couple of people have showed us they've put bets on us to go down. But anyway, I've asked this afternoon what position people think we'll be finishing in. So the first one I can see there is Lewis Cat. He said he thought we'd be in 11th. Dean Guard says 13th with the Finn squad and lack of depth of injuries, they'll take their toll over the season. Flaggy says you've got to ask again in October because there's too many variables to consider. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do that, Flaggy, you might as well ask at the end of the season, because there is a lot of variables in terms of games to play yet. So we could do that. Tim said 13th as well. Ryan says 15th or 16th unless Boya pulls off a miracle. Kai thinks we'll finish 9th. Matt says we'll finish 8th. A few more going up there. There we go. Flaggy's also saying that he's inviting players, people to bring their boots for Saturday. Will says new season, but it's the same philosophy. Keep the faith. Keep the faith in Boya, the squad. It might be small, but it's hungry. Well, they've taken away the breakfast, haven't they, for the academy team. The takeover, and he says as long as Richard Murray isn't involved, it's going to be a long season, but he begs people to keep the faith. Neil Brennan says, don't be stupid. We're going to finish first. I hope it is the case. And now here's a man we can always trust for a bit of positivity, Seb Lewis, who I think will be passing his 1,000th game consecutive at some point this season, he said, which is just incredible. So well done, Seb, keep it up. He says, lots to be optimistic about. We're joint top of the league, we're unbeaten, we've yet to concede a goal, we're still in the FA Cup, we're still in the League Cup, we're still in the Checker trade. He is absolutely buzzing. Well done, Seb. I'm glad you're feeling that way. Right, it's time to start looking ahead to Saturday's 12:30 kickoff up at Sunderland. The season begins. But first of all, I think we'll look ahead by reminiscing of days gone by.
This foot in, Ambrose. No offside here. Darren Bentford, Charlton. The angle's disappearing. Needs help. Murphy's there. It's Benton. He scored. Took his time, picked his moment, and found the back of the net. It's a debut goal for Charlton's Darren Bent. Welsh has done well. Oh, magnificent save, but the rebound's in. And Sunderland a level. Stephen Wright. Oh, it's a red card. Ambrose is sent off. Will it be Hrideson with a left-footed hammer or Murphy with a right-footed curler? It's Murphy. Oh, what a goal! Danny Murphy for Charlton. And the 10 men are in front. Aren't too many better free kick takers around than Danny Murphy. Just over a minute of added time still to go. It's up towards Gray. Ryan Hughes away, and Bent will chase this. Caldwell is back. It's Bent, and it's three. What a super finish from Darren Bent. Two goals on his debut, and Charlton are home and dry now.
There we go. That was the last time we opened our season with a game away at Sunderland. 2005, that would have been Darren Bent, of course, grabbing a brace on his debut. Danny Murphy curling a free kick into the top corner on his way to the cinema just as well, added to the scoring. So we are, of course, making our way back up to Sunderland for the first time since that game, which is crazy, really. I think it feels like a club we're quite closely connected with, of course, because of that playoff final back in the day, 1998. And it's a club I've got a lot of respect for Sunderland, really. But obviously they've had a bit of a disaster, like we have over the last couple of years, consecutive relegations. But they've had a little bit of a boost this summer, because apparently takeovers are allowed to happen in some places. And Stuart Donald, the former Eastleigh owner, has taken control from Ellis Short of the club. Obviously, they got rid of Chris Coleman in the summer. Jack Ross has come in from St Mirren as the new manager, and they've turned over a fair amount of players as well. So, of course, I wanted to find out what the feelings are up in the North East. So I spoke to Mark Carrick from the Roker Report, which is like a fanzine, a podcast, and all sorts up there. They look pretty good, actually, their website's better than ours. We should try and copy them at some point. But I spoke to Mark Carrick from up there, asking him, how the summer's gone since the takeover of the club.
Yeah, it's been real positive. Obviously, the Ellis Short period was quite dark days towards the end, where he basically kind of left us to it. And as you rightly say, relegation from the Premier League after 10 seasons, although I would argue we probably struggled for the last five or six anyway. And then, with very little money to buy, I think we bought Jason Steele, who was a shocking goalkeeper, and Aidan McGeady, and that was pretty much it for cash. So we kind of relied on a lot of youngsters and loans and things last season. So when Grayson came in, I think it was a bit of a struggle. And then when Chris Coleman replaced him, I think that the writing was on the wall well before Coleman arrived. Although it was a shame, we probably expected more from Coleman, but he didn't quite deliver. So So, yeah, going down, I suppose it made the club a more appropriate offer for someone like Stuart to come in and buy it. And he's brought with him a good sort of consortium. But he's gone out and got a really good young manager from Scotland who seems to have a style and a formation. He's slowly but surely pulled the players in and got the right jigsaw pieces together. And, yeah, it's looking good for Saturday. It might be a striker or two short, but I think we've made a couple of signings in the last couple of days, which hopefully will get us started in good spirits, really.
Yeah, you mentioned Jack Ross there. Obviously, he won the Scottish Championship last season with St Mirren, and was with Alloa Athletic before then, and he did reasonably well. So, I mean, you'd argue that anyone sort of taken from Scottish football could be a bit of an unknown, really. But have you been impressed with what you've seen so far?
Yeah, definitely. I think what we've liked about him is he's got a style. As I say, he's got a formation. He knows what he wants. He's gone out and he said, right, I want this type of player and that type of player, and he's got them. He's got people who can, play out from the back. He's got people who are tenacious in midfield, and he's got wingers and forwards who will drive forward. So I think he's done well. And I think the other thing about it is he's not being put off by names. I think Sunderland fans have been used to big names that haven't worked. Jack Lodwell being probably the biggest flop at our place in recent years. And he's gone out and he's bought people, like Luke O'Neill has just signed from Wickham, and Jack Baldwin's coming from Peterborough. And it's names that we're probably not used to, but certainly they can do a job, and they look as though they're sort of pieces in the right jigsaw. So, yeah, he's been very impressive. In the last couple of games, we beat St Mirren 6-0 and sort of beat Grimsby before that, and had a really good half at Middlesbrough last week before the thunderstorms came down. And the side just looks as though it's gelling, and it looks as though it's playing with a real purpose, which we haven't seen for a couple of years. So it's pleasing. I think we're hopeful anyway.
And in terms of the takeover itself, going back to that, I mean, does that sort of wipe the slate clean a little bit for Sunderland? Because I think that's what Charlton fans will be hoping for if and when the takeover at the Valley is ever completed. Does it feel like the start of a new era?
Oh, very much, very much. I think we were, you know, carrying debt. There wasn't really a clear plan as far as we could see as how that debt was ever going to be cleared. I think the fact that, you know, people were servicing the debt as owners rather than putting into the team, and you're worrying that your best players are being sold, or the people who can be sold disappear, and you're sort of replacing them with loan signings or freebies, and you're not quite sure where the club's going to finish. I think that was the problem. You know, when we came down, we thought it'll be the time to clear out, get the championship, win a few games, get rid of some of the big spenders, and that didn't quite happen. So it wasn't a shock that we went down. But I think having new owners who have an idea, who have a bit of investment, they've not spent a lot of money. You know, they've said they've come in with a big budget, and I think they have got a big budget. They're just, you know, biding their time and making sure they get the right players at the right deals. They're looking at the right structure in terms of wages and the right players for positions. So it just feels like there's been a sea change. And you know, bigger than that, I would argue that you know, this summer we've started replacing the seats at the stadium, which I know sounds little to people outside Sunderland, but it's a huge thing to get rid of pink seats that are faded and badly sort of tarred our image a little bit over the last few years, to actually rejuvenate the stadium. And having the fans come in and do that, I think the owners will bang on with that. And I think it's really united the city as much as the signings will, hopefully, on the pitch.
Yeah, Roland did that for us with the seats, actually, when he first came in. But unfortunately, it went downhill after that. So overall, how do you rate your transfer business that's happened so far this summer?
Well, I think, as I said, I think it's been really positive. And the reason I think it's positive is because it's the right people in. It might not be big names, and it might not be big money. And actually, I think that's probably a good thing right now. But what we have got, he's got people in. So you know, we've looked at a couple of players to play alongside Dylan McGeoch from Scotland, who's obviously the creative deep-lying midfielder. And he's looked at two or three. One, George Evans, looked as though he was done, but he decided to stay in the Championship and go to Derby, and that's fine. You know, we want people who want to be here. So Luke O'Neill's come in, who looks very tenacious, very gifted young man who can obviously get up and down the field and strong in the tackle to complement. So it's things like that that look good. He's also brought in people like Tom Flanagan and Jack Baldwin, who've got experience at League One level and have had promotions. Reece James is coming from Wigan, similarly at left back. So he's brought players who know the division, he knows what it takes to get out. And you're right, Jack Ross himself has had experience of building a promotion winning side. So, you know, we're hopeful that, as I say, he knows what he wants. He knows his style. We've seen that in the last couple of games. So I think overall the work that he's done has been really good. And, you know, when you're sort of changing 12 players a season, it has to be the right players. We're not going to get 12 gems, I'm sure, but if we can get the bulk of those teams working together, I think we'll be all right.
So there we go, that's Mark Carrick from the Roker Report talking about Sunderland. Obviously, successive relegations, you know, as big of a game as it is for us. I mean, it's a huge game for them. They sold, I think there's probably going to be nearly 30,000 there, which is incredible, really, in League One. I mean, Nathan, like I said, we heard from Mark there, and you went on the Roker Report podcast yourself and, you know, discussed the state of both clubs. But, I mean, looking ahead, I mean, for them, they've got to be up there, presumably, as favourite. They signed a lot of players. I mean, they've got a bit of an unknown quantity in the manager because he's come from Scotland and hasn't really done anything in English football yet or at all. So, I mean, what are you expecting from Sunderland?
Well, I mean, speaking to, obviously, Graham on Wednesday, I think it was, they're a bit of an unknown. So, like you say, they've got 20,000 season tickets. Apparently, there's around 25,000 to 26,000 going on Saturday, so it's going to be lively, to say the least. But, I mean, they're obviously confident, like I think any team would be when you're coming down and you've got a big budget. But what they found is, obviously, they don't really know too much about this league, because, obviously, they've been Premiership and Championship for God knows how long, and obviously it's a bit of a shock to the system. So, obviously, the players they're signing, the likes of, sort of, you know, your Jack Baldwins and your Reece Jameses and stuff, they're sort of more intrigued to sort of see how they get on, because they're not really used to getting these sort of players. And I said to Graham that whoever's doing their scouting for them, is obviously they know the league quite well. And I think that obviously they should, when I spoke to Graham, they didn't sign Wyke by then, and I don't think he's fit at the moment. But they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, and they said it's quite weird, people fearing them, whereas they used to fear themselves. Because they're there to be shot at. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't think ever since we've been in League One we've had a team as big as them in this league. Yeah, you got the Sheffield
maybe Leeds United back in the old days. Yeah,
yeah. But I mean, these are 25,000, 26,000. It's gonna be really loud on Saturday. And yeah. I mean, all 600 of us are there. How many of us are going?
700 so far.
Yeah, it's gonna be an experience. But listen, anything can happen on the day. But I think if they don't finish top two, I think they'll be pretty downhearted if they don't.
I reckon they get relegated again. It's a habit, isn't it? You just once you've got that one hit, you just want another one, don't you?
Pompey Highway is
going down the Pompey Highway. They're reversing up it now, of course, Portsmouth. Haven't really got much more time to focus on Sunderland because we still want to talk about Charlton Crossy. Says that we're after fullbacks. I mean, there's so many different positions we could have talked about. Fullbacks is certainly one of them. Dick still not his best position right back, but he can play there, and he's coming back from his pneumonia now, which sounds fairly typical this summer. Someone's got pneumonia. That's just how it's going to go. The bad lad, Mark, says, I have also renewed my season ticket for this season, but with the potential takeover dragging along and those signings incoming, the fans really need some positivity coming from somewhere, but I just can't see anything happening. Pierce, named as captain, though, is the right move. Yeah, and we haven't even mentioned that. Jason Pierce has been named as the team captain with Chris Solly as the club captain for the season coming up, and I think Pierce is a good choice. I saw he's been captain at every club that he's played at, which is an impressive record. I'm sure you'll agree. Right, you want to know what our team would look like roughly for Saturday? I mean, obviously there's rumours that started going around this afternoon about Jake that we don't really know the answer to at this moment in time. I'm sure we'll probably find out one way or the other on Saturday. But there's other players. Lyle Taylor's been a doubt this week. So he's the first person that we're going to hear about here from Lee Bowyer as we look ahead to Saturday's game up at the Stadium of Light.
Will Lyle Taylor be available to you at the weekend?
Yeah. He'd be travelling with us. So he's been okay this week. It wasn't as bad as what we first thought, but we still have to be careful with him. I think we have to, with the injuries we have, we have to look at the bigger picture. And I think that Carlin and Rico, I thought they'd done well against Norwich up top. That's a decision I'll have to make nearer the time. But like I said, I have to look at the bigger picture because we can't afford to lose him.
Some managers this week said that the start of the season's come a little bit too early in terms of preparation. Others have said they're champing at the bit, can't wait to get started. Where do Charlton stand on that?
Well, I know as a player, you just want to play games. So where we stand in that, I'd rather put it back 6 weeks so we can get all our injuries back. But that's not the case. But we're ready, so I think that we've had long enough to prepare for the start of the season. Every club does. They have a decision how long they bring their players back for and how much work you get out of it. Sorry. And we're ready and we're looking forward to it. You know, this is going to be the start of the journey. Saturday's going to be tough. I think they're going to be the benchmark, a bit like when Wigan came down and Blackburn. This has put us in good stead to see where we are. And obviously, we're going there with, four players that are injured that would probably be starting for us. So, yeah, we're going with a weakened side, but I still believe that we can go there and win.
And you're a former Newcastle player going to Sunderland. Do you expect stick?
Yeah, I might get some. What are they going to say that they haven't said to me before? So maybe just call me something regarding with grey now, because I've got grey hair instead of blonde. But whatever they say, it's all friendly banter, as they say. So, I'm looking forward to going up there.
How big a test do you think Sunderland will be for you and for a lot of clubs this season?
It'll be a big test because they've just come down from the Championship. Their squad is completely different to our squad of players. It's much bigger and they keep adding players by the looks of it. So, it's going to be a challenge, but that's what football's about, no? You want to be tested and pushed and see where you are. And on Saturday afternoon, we'll have a good idea of where we are.
So there we go on Saturday. As Lee Bowyer says, I guess we will have a real good idea of where we are in comparison to Sunderland in particular. First things first, said about Lyle Taylor, says he's going to travel, which is good news. Didn't sound to me like he thinks he's going to start.
No, I don't think it's worth the risk. I think with all the other injuries we've got as well, you play him and he does something serious and he's out for a few months, it's just not worth it, is it? I mean, Sunderland's going to be a tough game irrespective of whether we've got him or not. And like he says, I think Rico I've seen a bit less of, but Carlin I think has been brilliant in pre-season. So
He got all those goals at the end of last season. Yeah. I thought he'd shown, you know, even in the first half of last season, he'd shown some improvement, got a handful of goals before we shipped him off to Crawley. And so, yeah. I mean, it looks like it's going to be up to him and Rico to lead the line. Maybe Nicky Adjozie, if he's going to be involved. I mean, if you look at the squad number, he's been given a really low squad number. Obviously, I think I forgot to actually play the clip. We ran out of time in the transfer a bit earlier where he says that there's interest in him. So whether he's still going to be here, we don't know. So, I mean, in terms of firepower, for obviously even coming from the wings, we ain't got Tariq Fosu. I mean, so that front line of, you know, Cag and Rico Hackett Fairchild trying to, you know, be presumably fed in by the likes of Mark Marshall. I mean, do you feel like we're going to pose enough of a threat going forward on Saturday, or hopefully will they have the element of surprise?
Possible. I mean, obviously we're going to be sitting behind the board quite a lot and obviously trying to get them on the counter, and they'll probably have to work the channels a little bit more. I don't know if Carlin will probably stay central or Rico will stay central. I agree with Tom. I don't think Taylor will start. I mean, listen, this, if we come away without getting battered, I think I'd take that. I mean, if we take a 1-0 defeat, it's not the ideal. You know, I'd take a draw straight away. But I think it's the cards we're dealt. We've just got to get on with it. It's not an ideal situation, but it is what it is. But you never know. We could keep it tight. We were fairly good defensively last year. Keep it tight, maybe Carlin will get one on the break.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Pearce and Bauer in particular, that's going to be a centre-half pairing that's going to, you know, be up there with the best in the league, which is certainly something to cling on to. Now, if we talk about the midfield, and I obviously say, you know, when we spoke to Lee Bowyer about Darren Prattley a few weeks ago after the game, you know, against Dulwich, he said that he would, you know, Prattley probably wouldn't be ready for then. I don't think he ain't played in 90 minutes yet, so it's unlikely he's going to be involved. Now, there's rumours going around, so if we lose both Forsikaski and Prattley, or if we lose one of them or don't have the other one, or what? I mean, who's going to play in the centre of midfield? I mean, Lapsley's featured in pre-season, but he's got great potential, but he's very, very inexperienced. I remember, you know, we've seen him in the Checker trade and he's looked all right, but when he actually played against Blackpool, he had a bit of a shaky game, didn't he, when he came on against Blackpool here at the Valley. So, yeah. I mean, are we going into that game with George Lapsley in the midfield?
I honestly think, well, if the rumours about JSC are true, then I think we have to. Because he's about, seriously, about as experienced as we've got. So you've got him and Joe and Mark Marshall. But yeah, you're going to have to rely on him, I think, which is not fair on him in the same way it wasn't fair on Carlin those years ago, and the same way it's been with a lot of players over the last few years. I mean, even for us, this size of squad and this amount of injury seems unprecedented, but we seem to say that year on year as well, so... If Roland's still around next year, we'll probably have about two fit players for the first game of the season. But I think Lapsley, that I've again seen him in little bits in pre-season, he still looks good on the ball. He's still very slight, and he's going to be coming up against an experienced team in a hostile stadium. So, but Bowyer, I'm sure, will put his faith in him. And like I said earlier with the young players, they've got some experienced people around them in the backroom staff that can hopefully help.
And Aribo should presumably be involved in the centre of midfield as well to sort of guide him. But I mean, we forget how young he is as well. Yeah. And obviously, I mean, something else that came, because the squad numbers came out today, and possibly big news, the fact that Dylan Phillips has been given the number one jersey. Yeah. Now, I spoke to Bowyer again after the game against Crawley, and we talked about Phillips. Now, I mean, my opinion is I think Phillips is a good goalkeeper from what I've seen. I think he's got talent. But now, Bowyer quite correctly pointed out that he's inexperienced, and then I sort of thought, well, actually, yeah, if you think about Nick Pope, who's now in the England squad, do you remember how difficult the start of his Charlton career was when he's inexperienced? That nerves particularly can affect a goalkeeper, it would seem. So that's the risk we appear to be taking.
Yeah, and I said on Charlton Life the other day, I think if you look back, the only way you're going to get experience is given game time. If you look at Pope, you look at Randolph, you look at Elliot, they all had to come in at some point and they were all young, and look at where they are now. I think deals, yeah, there might be certain aspects of your games that you can prove, but you can't, we're a Charlton, you know, we've not got one perfect player. I think if you give Dills a go and you get a backup goalie who probably won't be number one, someone like Dave Martin or someone like that who could be happy to play second fiddle but give Dills experience, I'd definitely give him a go. Because if he's not our number one here, he's got to go. Yeah. Because it's not fair on Dills.
No.
Why would he sit on the bench for another year when he's, what, 23?
But, yeah.
It's so. No point for him to do it. No point. He's got to be number one.
Yeah, right. Ryan Tate tweets in, only Charlton can pick up so many injuries to key players in pre-season when a ball hasn't been kicked. The squad we have is pathetic. As for the takeover, what annoys me is the silence from the club. Wish somebody would just update us and tell us what's going on. I mean, yeah, because the last update we had from the club would have been early July, maybe even before that. And it was a joint statement between the Australians and the club saying, yeah, the takeover's still going on, but we no idea what's going on. Right, just very quickly, time for a quick Forster Caskey back, because there's no Caskey back anymore. Nath, have you thought of one yet?
I'm thinking something along
Charlton to field 11 players.
Nabi Sarr, mate. Nabi Sarr at DM this Saturday. I'm going to go, what, do you want a prediction now?
Yeah, go on. Have a prediction.
Do you know what? I'm going to try and be optimistic. I'm going to go, I said to Graham, I'm going to go for a Carlin Grant 1-1.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Right, Tom?
I'd have taken 1-1 as well, so I'll go 2-2. I think we've got a chance of getting a draw.
All right, and so you're going to put Carlin Grant as your bet as well. So Carlin Grant 1-1.
Yeah,
as our cashy back bet. Hopefully
should be we'll high be, odds. Yeah. Probably about 850-1.
Yeah, hopefully higher odds than the amount of fans we're taking. Hopefully the bet will come in and we'll get some money for the Charlton Upbeats. Right, thank you for listening tonight to the fantastic return of Charlton Live's Big Match Preview. Glad to be back here. Even though England nearly winning the World Cup was great, there's nothing quite like disappointment at the Valley to get you going, is there? So thank you for joining us. I've been Louis Mendes. Tom Walling, thanks for being here.
Cheers, Louis.
Nathan Mother.
River Dirtchy.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you both here and to have you all listening. We'll be back on here on Maritime Radio on Sunday evening. This has been Charlton Live. Let's hope that the Addicts can start the season with 3 points and 11 players.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.